Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin from the Hinton Alliance Church, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together to bring to you some thoughts and to revisit Sunday's message and hopefully maybe ponder a few things about it and maybe dig up a few other things that maybe we didn't have time to say in the service. And so this is our way of kind of rethinking and reshaping and wandering through the message and hopefully learning some new things. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you can enjoy the journey with us. And so we look forward to spending this next half hour with you. And Lord willing, you'll be blessed as well.
Here we are again, Pastor Kevin.
Hey.
Another week.
Hi. Yeah. Another week. So last Sunday was a lot of fun. We got to talk about a rarely, I guess in my experience anyway, a rarely spoken of part of the scripture. And that is the widow who had lost her sons, or was about to lose her sons to a creditor because her husband had passed away. And her husband was part of the company of the prophets, the school of the prophets that Elisha would often teach and lead. And so she went directly to him and said, "Help, the creditor is standing at my door. Help me." And he didn't have anything to give her, but he did say, "What do you have?" And I think of all the things that I really couldn't really expand on, it was the idea that just before this, Elisha had been with two kings. So he was in the palace with King Ahab's son, I can't remember his name at the moment, and also Jehoshaphat. And they were looking to go to war. And they were asking Elisha for advice. So there he is in the kingdom, in the king's palace, talking about war. And then the next breath, he's with a widow who's lost her sons. I mean, the contrast is just beautiful. And not only that, but one of my favorite parts, I know it sounds weird to some people, but one of my favorite parts was the fact that he just starts out, the story starts out with the wife of a man.
The wife of
a man. And that's all we know. The wife of a man. Simple, unknown. I think we can all relate to that. We're
nothing significant about this woman.
Totally. Nothing to go by. Not not even, you know, especially not the names or anything. The only person that's named in this story is Elisha. He's the only one. And her husband had passed away, and not even the, you know, the person who was coming to get the kids, he's not named either. So it's a bunch of no names in a story that Elisha is a part of because he gives a little bit of advice. And it was pretty easy to pick off the idea that here's a woman who all her focus was on what she didn't have. And there's a bit of sympathy there.
Oh, definitely.
Right? I mean, if you've lost your husband, you know, and you're desolate, it's really about what you don't have.
It is, yeah. Especially in that culture, in that day and age.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was no kinsman redeemer. So I really couldn't, you know, go down that street as well.
Right.
Because technically, there should have been one of her husband's brothers or relatives who would take her in as part of his family. And obviously that wasn't happening. And so she didn't have that option. Tragically, you know, I mean, the Lord had made provision for that, but she fell through the cracks in that sense. Kind of sad. The other thing that I wanted to, pick at here a little bit was the fact that we didn't really get to talk about why it was so important for her to be shut in behind the door.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It wasn't show your neighbors what God is doing. It was go in, shut your door, keep everybody else out, and just do what I've told you.
Which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really got to dig deeper into that. I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, the same words are used by Jesus, go in, shut the door, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So it's obviously about being in secret and the reward that comes from just being in the presence of God.
Right.
But you would think that it would be something that would encourage everybody. You know, I mean, there must have been enough curiosity. Here's this kids running around collecting everybody's empty jars. And well, they're like, what's all
what
this
are you going to do with it?
Exactly. What's all this for? And yet at the same time, there's no mention of that at all. It was all done in secret. And the only people who got to know about it were whoever read the story later.
Right.
But they must have been some ponderings. There must have been, like, you think about the dynamics of small village.
Mm-hmm.
This woman, everybody knows her husband's dead.
Right.
She's been collecting jars from everybody she knows.
Right.
And then suddenly she's at the market with all this oil. And where did it come from? How did that happen? Right. So there's not a mention of any of that, unfortunately.
Right.
Which would be very interesting to find out. Like the rest of the story, you know,
right.
Like Paul Harvey used to have that program on the radio. And now you know the rest of the story. We don't get to know the rest.
I wonder, you know, I think about it as God kept it from being a spectacle so that it could be a testimony.
Mm.
He kept it from being a spectacle that, you know, even the woman could have said, hey, look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Hey, look at me. Look how close to God I am that I pour this and it continues to flow.
Mm.
And instead, the focus we were able to remain on, look at how God provided.
Yeah.
Look at what God did, and that testimony of his work.
That fits well with the whole theme. In fact, you could even say that it's important that it's not a spectacle, that it is only a testimony, like not only, but privately a testimony of God's grace for this woman, because it fits so well with the story.
Right.
No names.
Mm-hmm.
Unknown,
right?
Not well off. Nobody, you know, to care for her.
Mm-hmm.
She's definitely marginalized, down and out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was very important that this was strictly, truly just for her and the boys,
right?
Yeah. You know, there was some commentaries that believe through church history that this was Obadiah's widow.
Oh,
the guy who took care of the prophets from being slain by Ahab. That guy. There was some, and I couldn't figure out like how they came to that conclusion. But the way it's written in the original Hebrew, when she spoke to Elisha about him, you know, he was a man who revered God. So there was some kind of connection there,
right?
So who knows? Maybe it is. I guess we'll find out someday if it was Obadiah's widow or not, you know. The other thing was, like, there was very little, like, how did he get into debt? What was the purpose behind him being in debt?
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? Was it nefarious? But you think, no, it wouldn't have been because he was a righteous man.
Right.
So it wouldn't have been, like, somehow, you know, gambling debts or anything like that. It would have been legitimate, maybe to build the house or, you know, maybe to carry them through a hard time or whatever. And then the creditor comes a knocking.
Yeah.
What a scary system though, hey?
Oh, I know.
To know that it was your fault. You went and got the loan. Now you can't pay. So now your kids are being hauled off to be slaves.
Slavery.
Oh, that would just be brutal.
Mm-hmm. Brutal. You know, there's, I think, a connection there when it comes to, you know, that idea of generational sin.
Yeah.
And that our choices that we make, specifically as parents, have an impact on our kids.
Yep.
And if we choose sin, if we choose to live in a certain way, our kids are going to feel that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to impact them.
Yep. No, agreed. Yeah. Thankfully, there's grace because obviously we're not perfect. But if we are intentionally doing things that aren't right, then our offspring, our generation, will definitely be affected by our poor choices.
Yeah.
And in this case, definitely true, hey? They had to pay the price for their father's being unable to pay the price.
Right.
And because he was gone.
And then seeing God's grace, even in that, of saying, yeah, the system says you have to pay, but I'm going to cover you.
Right. That is truly a message of grace, eh? Praise God for that. Yeah. Things that make you go, the part that, I think at the end of the day, the part that struck me was the sadness in the story that the oil stopped flowing when the jars were, there was no more empty jars.
Yeah.
And I couldn't break away from how disappointed, bring me another jar.
Right. There has to be another one.
There's no more.
No.
And as soon as that happened, the oil stopped. And the idea that the oil represents the Holy Spirit and that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would only come for a season or come for a task and then be withdrawn.
Right.
And then the idea that the sadness of that whole affair and then comparing it to the New Testament, mm-hmm. where the oil again is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, right. but he is given to us forever.
Forever.
And then how we treat that, how we understand that, and that mm-hmm. we actually live as though the oil could stop.
Yeah.
And that was sort of a challenge to my own life. Mm-hmm. And then to combine that with the bookend of the story of the king, the young king who was able to defeat his enemies if right. he had just had the faith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Elisha was telling him, you know, each of these arrows symbolizes victory.
Right.
And then now strike the ground. And he only struck it three times. It's the only time that Elisha was recorded as being angry. Mm-hmm. And you think, wow, he was really disappointed that that king did not strike the ground more. Mm-hmm. And so we actually live like we kind of live with a poverty mindset. Like it's not going to happen. It's right. going to stop.
Yeah.
The power is stuck. It's going to, mm-hmm. is not going to be there for me.
That's almost seeing God's work in our life as, you know, a moment here
yeah.
and a moment there. And it's almost like we're biding our time until the next big moment mm-hmm. when it's no, the Holy Spirit is here. Yeah. He's flowing actively
in with us, in mm-hmm. us, walking through life, walking mm-hmm. through ministry, walking through whatever it is we're facing.
Yeah.
Right. And so to be able to understand that the New Testament way of thinking about it is not so much the oil stops, but the oil needs to be refilled in
right.
that sense, right? So Ephesians comes along and says, be filled with the Spirit continually,
right.
continuously mm-hmm. be being filled with the Spirit. And to live our lives in that kind of dynamic rather than in a, I think I want to call it a poverty kind of mindset, like mm-hmm. we don't have enough.
Right.
Or we can't do what we need to do. Mm-hmm. We tell ourselves those lies, and they could be from the enemy, and they could even be just from our own psyche.
Right.
Because we tend to think less of ourselves than we should mm-hmm. in the kingdom. So I think we are satisfied too easily with too little.
Yeah.
When there is so much more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was there anything else that you heard that morning that was challenging to you?
For me, what just keeps driving home in my mind is how many arrows are you shooting?
Right.
Are you stopping?
Yeah.
Are you stopping trusting God for more? And it isn't the material necessarily. It isn't, you know, that, you know, keep praying and exactly what we want to happen is going to happen. But it's continuing to seek after him and knowing that he is never going to say, yep, you've reached the end of this relationship, or you've come as far as you can in your relationship with me.
Yeah.
It's, there's always more there, always more to experience, always yeah. more to have of him.
Mm-hmm. So true, eh? Lord, help me not to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Mm-hmm. They will be filled. So increase my appetite.
Yes.
Increase my thirst. Mm-hmm. And not to be satisfied with what I have, but have a sense of maybe holy dissatisfaction, mm-hmm. like a sanctified dissatisfaction with
right.
my current status, where I'm at in my faith. And to actually mm-hmm. take the time to sit down and think through mm-hmm. like where am I lacking? Where am I thinking right. the oil has run out yeah. or I'm only striking mm-hmm. the ground three times? Where am I doing that? And mm-hmm. how can I repent? And then what do I do next? What does the Spirit want me to do? What does he want me to accomplish? What mm-hmm. does he want me to be involved in?
Right.
How am I following his lead? Like, these are good questions to stop and ask yourself mm-hmm. Without rushing through life and
right.
and then, you know, coming to church on Sunday going, wow, what happened to that week?
Yeah.
You know, and where was I at? How did I affect the world around me? How did the kingdom of mm-hmm. God come to bear on wherever I was,
yeah.
you know, doing whatever I was doing this week? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we don't ask those questions enough. Mm-hmm. I know I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easier for me to look back and say, yep, I could see God moving in that moment mm-hmm. back, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah.
Or yes, I felt super close to God in those moments. Mm-hmm. I felt his presence. I felt his Spirit moving in my life, and even to long for that again.
Yeah.
But then to stop and ask, well, why not now?
Mm. Yeah.
God hasn't quenched his Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
God hasn't said, I've cut you off.
Right.
Yeah. So what am I doing?
Right.
Am I pursuing him? Mm. Am I ready? Am I asking?
Yeah.
Am I ready to receive? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Am I willing to obey? Because, yeah. I mean, the widow had to go and obey.
She had to obey.
Crazy instruction. Mm-hmm. What? Go get a bunch of jars and then take the little bit that I do have? I know on Sunday I was kind of having fun with it, but you know, to see her in that room and contemplating, okay, I've got all these empty jars. I've got this little tiny vial of oil.
When did she do a drop in one, a drop in another one, a drop in another one?
Do I just start pouring or like, how is this going to work? You know, what a powerful little thought just to be in the room with her boys. Okay, here we go. Here comes the adventure. And she starts to pour the oil and it just never stops. Give me another jar quick. This is full, you know.
And then I wonder the sons.
Yeah, the impact.
The impact.
Yeah.
Them knowing that they were facing slavery.
Yeah. Thank God. Eh? Woo! Glad the oil kept coming. Right? Yeah.
And then to witness the faith of their mom.
Yeah.
Who had just lost her husband, their dad.
Yeah.
Still having faith, maintaining her faith, saying, no, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do what he says.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Sunday school. I think I want to do this next year. Hey,
I think it's great.
Let's do a few years of summer going back to Sunday school.
I think that's great.
And digging up some of these wonderful
stories. So many of these stories. I love thinking back to Sunday school.
Yeah.
And I had so much fun as a kid. Yeah. Great Sunday school teachers.
Lots of good memories.
And now to revisit these stories and I definitely didn't see that as a kid.
Right.
Samson. Whoa. Yeah. Definitely didn't see that as a kid.
Didn't see that coming. You betcha. Huh. All right. Well, I think we've come to the end of our half hour or so, isn't it? Are we close to that? Not even?
Not even.
Oh, there's more?
There's more.
Oh, okay.
Oh. So, Kevin.
Yeah.
We're obviously in an interesting time.
We certainly are.
With COVID-19 regulations.
Yes.
Remaining faithful to Christ while also honoring the government. Mm-hmm. Following the regulations they put forward.
Yep.
For our well-being,
yeah,
there is a pandemic, and obviously we have people on all different ends of the spectrum.
Yep.
How do we continue living for Christ in the midst of the pandemic?
Yeah.
How do we, as an individual, continue to reach out and to love our neighbor in the midst of a pandemic?
Yeah. To me, it just starts with understanding he has the whole world in his hand. Mm-hmm. He has this pandemic well under control.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, he has allowed it to happen. And there, I mean, I've even heard a few people say, well, there's been a few silver linings, you know, even someone a couple of weeks ago was chatting. He said, you know, I haven't spent this much time with my family forever. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, there you go.
There we go.
So thank you, COVID? Question mark. Yeah. You know, the other thing about it is too, the focus. And I think you mentioned it when you asked the question, the focus shouldn't be on COVID. I mean, COVID is a reality and we have to deal with it. We have to wash our hands. Do things that we know we're supposed to do. Like we need to be told to wash our hands. Yeah. Come on. And, but the focus must remain on Christ and living for him in the midst of this. And it doesn't, I know that some people think, you know, we should be defiant. We should be standing up against the government because they're trying to take away our right to worship or whatever. And, I can empathize with that. I mean, I don't want to be told what to do any more than anybody else does. But I think at the same time, we have this fine line to walk with keeping our respect, keeping the fact that we don't want to be ever perceived as furthering the problem.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. Mm-hmm. So we want to be careful. We want to do what we can to act responsibly and be good citizens. I think that's part of the calling of Paul talks about it, you know, be good citizens, you know, pray for the king, pray for Mr. Trudeau because he needs our prayers.
Definitely.
You know, can you imagine without God, without Christ, trying to lead a country through the fear that is everywhere about this crazy virus?
That's right.
They need our prayers. You know, Dr. Tam needs our prayers. This is the time when we should increase the temperature of our prayers for them.
Definitely.
Rather than decrease, which I think happens because we criticize or complain about our government, which fine. They do stupid things, but they are human. So I guess it's to be expected.
They're in good company.
Exactly. that's a good question. Had you thought about that? Have you been thinking Any thoughts about that?
I keep going back in the New Testament. There's, you know, the question of can we eat meat offered to idols?
Uh-huh.
And Paul says, look, eat the meat.
Yeah.
Use your freedom, eat the meat.
Right.
But if eating meat causes your brother to stumble, mm-hmm. then abstain.
Right.
And the focus isn't what can I do? What can I get away with? But mm-hmm. what about my brother? What about my sister?
Yeah.
And I think this idea of COVID and how we as Christians, you know, I personally have my ideas about it.
Uh-huh.
But how am I presenting myself? And am I doing so in a way that is hurting my brother and sister?
Yeah.
Am I doing something? Am I presenting myself in a way? Am I speaking in a way that is going to push people away from Christ?
Yeah.
Or draw them closer?
Mm. Yeah.
And for me, it's been a challenge because you want to react in a particular way.
For sure.
You want to say, you know, you want to go to one end of this spectrum or the other as, you know, this is a made up pandemic, throw the masks away, this is garbage, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or this is the end of the world. If you're not wearing a mask, then you're the enemy. One end of the spectrum or the other.
Right.
But how can we, from both sides, no matter what we perceive of COVID-19 and what we perceive about the government regulations, how can we approach it in a way that puts our neighbor above ourselves and mm-hmm. puts our brothers and sisters above ourselves and mm-hmm. our own freedom,
yeah.
our own liberty, but acting in a way that will draw them closer to Christ
yeah.
and closer to the peace that only he can give during this time of fear?
Yeah. No, I think that's, yeah. Ultimately, that's what we're called to do, right? To go and make disciples. Well, what mm-hmm. does that look like in a COVID-filled land?
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to respect what's kind of the current wave of carefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Respect it, or you won't get a hearing.
Right.
You know, you won't. If you go to mm-hmm. Walmart and don't wear your mask, you're not going to get a hearing.
You're not going
to
get in.
Well, you're not even going to get in, but right. you wouldn't get a hearing. You no. wouldn't be able to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. But if you are wearing your mask, you have the opportunity, mm-hmm. even though you think wearing a mask might be the stupidest thing in the world.
Right.
You're wearing it for their benefit.
Yeah.
And you're wearing it for the benefit of being able to say something to someone
mm-hmm.
and communicate love and care and concern. And if you're not wearing your mask, then chances are pretty high you're not going to get a hearing.
Have the opportunity.
So I think there's that definite responsibility. And I actually like that passage that you mentioned, you know, not to watch out for the weaker brother, to watch out mm-hmm. for the one who maybe doesn't have the same confidence as you, or mm-hmm. maybe is a bit afraid for their health because they have health issues.
Right.
And you don't know what's going on in somebody's mm-hmm. mind. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know everybody's health issues. So I just have to be respectful. And mm-hmm. that's just one way we can do it.
Definitely.
You know, I found that I don't think I've washed my hands this often in my life.
No.
My mom used to always have to tell me, go wash your hands before you eat, before you go to bed, before you know, go wash your hands. Now I'm like, yeah, I'll get in my vehicle and have a little sanitizer there.
Right.
Because, you know, I've just been filling up the fuel. And
right.
That's, sanitize I guess, apparently hands. One of the worst ways of
spreading it. Yeah.
Of spreading a virus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for me, too, as I mentioned this morning, I think in our staff meeting, I wish that the same amount of due diligence, maybe even overreach
mm-hmm.
From the government, from those in authority, would be put towards people who are struggling with meth addictions, mm-hmm. the suicides that are going crazy, yeah. the numbers of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we have as much or maybe even more
right.
Concern about those kinds of things as well. Children being abused. It's really, really sad mm-hmm. what is going on out there as people are finding themselves without work.
Right.
Or maybe have lost a job or mm-hmm. a business.
Yeah.
Or now divorce, you know, apparently has affected hugely. Divorce courts are packed.
Mm-hmm.
to the brim and beyond with new cases because people are just walking away from their relationships. Wow. So, okay, fine. Let's be careful. Let's make sure we wear a mask right. and we wash our hands. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But what about all that other stuff that's going on and
right.
doesn't get any attention? Shouldn't yeah. that be, I guess the church can step in there. The church mm-hmm. can say, well, here we're here.
Right.
We want to help with people. And, you know, we spend an mm-hmm. enormous amount of time trying to counsel people in their marriages.
Right.
trying to encourage people who are broken not to self-harm, trying to help people through addiction. We have Celebrate Recovery here.
So we
are wanting to help.
Definitely.
And maybe that's something that we should put more energy into as a church, because you can't depend on the government for everything.
No.
And right now they're stuck.
Right.
You know, those old vinyl records where the needle would get stuck on a song, you know, and repeat that same thing over, right, and, over, and, over and over and over. And that's kind of like what happens when you turn on the TV. It's this over and broken record.
Over again. Yeah.
And you just hear the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, there's a lot more going on in this world than this.
Yeah.
And so maybe our job as a church is to kind of champion the stuff that's not getting attention. And,
right.
And to pray for those who are broken and to pray for our communities. And
yeah.
And especially Hinton. I mean, that's where we're planted. This is where we're supposed to be.
This is our town.
This is who we're supposed to look after. So, yeah, stuff like that.
I mean, it's a challenge for all of us. Look around at your neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where might there be a need?
Yeah, definitely. How can we help?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, I think that's a...
I think that's a wrap.
I think that's a wrap.
Got awful quiet in here for a second.
Thank you, Kevin, for your word on Sunday. It was very challenging for me, the story of the king and the arrows and not stopping short.
Yep. Me too.
God's spirit, there's no ending.
Mm-mm. Amen.
His oil is not going to stop.
Nope.
Thank
Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord in heaven.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.